Welcome to the house of the passionate, the committed, those who are trying to follow Jesus well. How are you doing? You ready to go? You tired this morning from shoveling all that snow to get here? Yeah, we shovel a lot of sunshine around here. It was a rough day this morning, I know, because it's a little bit cloudy and we're wondering where the sun is, but don't worry, by the time we get out, it'll be there. Our prayer this morning is that the Son of God will shine a little bit more clearly into our soul this morning. So as we start thinking about that, let's talk about where we're going. We've been in a series called All In, Passionate, Committed, Following Jesus. Passionate meaning it is all about God. I give my whole heart, my whole life. He is my passion. As Pastor Glenn unpacked that, and he unpacked what it means to be committed. How does that look like? All or nothing, no negotiating. Yes, God, I will follow you. And today we're going to unpack what it means to follow Jesus. And we do this every year. We do this series because we want to help us as God's people to follow Jesus well, to be all in. And we use this as kind of like a membership. For some churches, they use that word membership. We don't. We don't use it because membership in our world reminds us of we pay a due, we expect a service. In a country club or some other club that you might be involved with, you pay your dues and then you become a consumer. You expect something back. So you go, you pay, you receive. And we sit back and allow them to serve us. And we get our services that we paid for. In partnership, it doesn't work that way. I'm all in. The ends, what happens. It's about what I participate in. I am fully invested to see what's going to happen, to drive this forward. And we participate in the kingdom with Jesus. It's not about being a consumer. It's not that you come and drop a little envelope and you pay for your seat. It's that you come and you say, I am in. I want to know that what we are doing is important. I want to see the mission of Christ go forward. I am all in. So we ask people, us, you and I, our staff, everyone to say, are you in? Are you all in? Are you ready to give at that next level? And we ask people to consider that every year to say, there is something more. This isn't, don't get comfortable. Be engaged. Be participating. So that's what this series is all about. And I want to talk about following Jesus well. And in order to do that, we're going to tell a couple of stories this morning. But I want to remind you before I start, the last couple weeks, Glenn has said that this morning was going to be open baptism. And some of you have been thinking about that. Some of you are ready this morning. You are saying, I'm ready to commit my life wholly to Christ for the first time, and I want to be baptized. And others of you are going to be surprised when you hear those words speaking into your heart later this morning that says, it's time for you. So I want to encourage you as we talk through some scripture and we tell some stories this morning that you would be open to what God is saying, how he's speaking in your heart, how he's calling you to follow Jesus well. You ready?
Yes.
All right. I was just checking. Didn't hear any. Just making sure. All right. Okay. So here we go. True story. It's a story about a business owner, small business owner. Some of you know exactly what that's like. You know the pain, the toil, the struggle, what it takes to get a small business up and operational and to sustain it. Well, this small business owner had a couple of partners and they labored together to acquire some of the tools they needed for the trade. He worked hard his entire life to learn his trade, to be an expert at what he did. This one week happened to be a pretty tough week. He and his partners had been working really hard and they had hit a wall. They were producing nothing. They were exhausted. In fact, they had called everybody together and they had worked through the night to see if they could get through this barrier, and they were unsuccessful. Absolutely exhausted. The next day they're cleaning up their tools, putting things away and saying, we've hit a wall here, and really struggling with what to do with their little business and to make sure that they were going to maybe have success the next day, but they weren't sure what's going to happen. So as they're working and they're kind of putting things away, a guy comes walking into their midst and says, I need some help, and you have some tools that I could use. Would you mind helping me for a couple of hours? So the guys look at each other and go, well, we haven't been productive doing anything else. We might as well help someone else. So they lend a hand. A couple hours later, after the guy is finished, he looks at him and says, I think I can help your problem. I think I know what you need. If you will just do this, you will have success. Now the business owner, I'm sure, had a really hard time keeping a smile off his face and a little smirk and almost wanted just to laugh out loud, just from maybe just pure exhaustion or maybe just because, you think I'm an idiot? I'm an expert in my field. I have brought together my partners and I, and we have worked really hard to solve this problem. And besides that, mister, we've already done that. But he didn't. He just looked at him and said, well, thank you very much. We've already done that. It didn't work. Glad we could help you. Nice to meet you. Have a nice day. But the man didn't leave. He just kind of stood there looking at the business owner and stared at him. And the business owner looks back and tries to leave and can't, and this man won't leave, and they're just kind of at the stalemate, and finally he goes, probably out of frustration, maybe out of pure exhaustion, maybe out of, what the heck? This guy's not going to leave until we try this, so what do we have to lose if nothing else has worked? So he tries it. In the next few minutes, this business owner experiences such success that he has to call every single employee on his roster and say, get in here, we can't handle this. We need your hands here. And so this goes on for a while until they are exhausted. The adrenaline they have pumped is just going through. And so finally, after all that kind of settles down, after all the chaos goes away and the adrenaline rush is gone, they're sitting around and the stranger looks at him and says, why don't you come work for me? And Simon Peter looks at Jesus and says, okay. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Did I surprise you there? All right, good. That was the goal. Luke chapter 5. Jesus is standing by the water and Jesus is teaching. And the crowd is pushing him and pushing him. And Peter has been up all night. James, John, his partners in their fishing business. Been up all night. They're now back on shore. They have caught nothing. They're cleaning their nets. And Jesus says, hey, I need your boats. Verse 3, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore because the crowd was just pushing and pushing him. He needed some space so he could continue to teach. So Peter does it. And Peter begins to listen to Jesus. He's stuck in this boat, listening to this man he has never heard, and Jesus is teaching. When he had finished, verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Let me fix the problem you have had all night. Simon answered, Master. Whatever Peter had been hearing, whatever Jesus had been teaching, Simon Peter recognized he was a master. This was not a normal conversation. This was not a normal man. This was something different. As we learn to follow Jesus, we begin to hear a voice that is different from the world's voice. We begin to hear truth that is different, and Peter was experiencing that. Master, snicker, snicker. We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because I recognize your voice is different, because you are asking, because you say so, I will let down the nets. I'll take a chance. I will risk this. I will put forth some effort following your direction instead of mine. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Nothing, zero, all night long. When fish bite, here it is, midday, when fish are not biting, when they are not swimming around, when they are dormant, and all of a sudden they are jumping into the net, can't wait to be caught. So they signaled their partners on the other boat and said, "Come, help us." And they came and they filled both boats so full they began to sink. If you have ever been on a boat, trying to imagine a small boat so full of fish that is about to sink, they must be wading in them 2 or 3 feet deep, can't walk across, laughing hysterically, exhausted from a full night's work, all the adrenaline of pulling them in and laughing because they have never caught fish like this in one dropping of the net. When Simon Peter saw this, he responded as you and I do when we come face to face with Jesus for the first time. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." What we experience when we first follow Jesus, and sometimes not to our credit, but to our shame, we forget this because we start living like we are owed by Jesus. But when we first meet Jesus, we are often, the curtain of our lives is taken back. Our real soul is revealed. It's opened up, and what is there is seen. And we have to admit we are sinful. Because the facade that we have been wearing is all over us, and we try to look good, and we try to act good, and we try to cover up what's really down in there, the brokenness, the shame, the hurt, the sin. And Jesus reveals that to us. His presence in our lives causes us to open up and to see ourselves for who we really are. Peter has this example, this experience. He falls on his knees. He says, "Go away, I am sinful. You and I are not the same," is what he is saying. "How can you be in my presence? Jesus, you need to leave." Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that you are looking at yourself through these new lenses. As your eyes are clearly fixed on who you really are, of what's really in there, don't be afraid. I'm not here to cause you shame. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to bring out all of this guilt. That's not why I'm here. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. From now on, Simon, you are going to have purpose in your life that is different than fishing. I'm going to give you such great purpose. Come with me. Come with me." And then the most incredible thing happens. The most illogical thing from a world's point of view, how does a business owner do this, who has worked his whole life to build up his boats, his nets, his tools, his equipment, his people? So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Jesus invited him to totally change. To leave what he had done, what he had built, and to walk into a life of a different purpose. And the experience that Peter had with Jesus caused him to look into himself and saying, "I am broken, I am sinful, I can't do this." And realize that he had been invited to follow the Master. And that was a whole different experience. And he was able to let go of everything that he thought important, everything that he had built his life on, and step in a different direction. It's not that he left his business. It's that he walked toward Jesus. That's the invitation that Jesus gives you and I. to have a life of purpose, to have a life of meaning. Peter didn't go on to own any more businesses. He didn't go on to amass this huge amount of wealth and live in a castle. But he did go on to change the world, so much so that every generation since speaks his name. And we look back to him as a leader in our faith. That's what Jesus has invited us to. I want to tell you another true story about Chuck Colson. Some of you may know Chuck Colson. Incredible man, had started many ministries. This well known for his prison fellowship ministry in Breakpoint. He died in 2012, having spent almost half his life without Christ and almost half his life with Christ. An incredible evangelist, and one who changed the hearts of millions of people toward how do we look at people in prison? How do we look at them? Do we just cast them off in society, or do we realize they are some of the least and the lost that we need to help, to encourage, to bring back into society? And that's what his ministry did. But his ministry didn't start because he was such a great man. His ministry began out of his brokenness. Chuck Colson in 69 to 73 was an advisor to the president, President Nixon. He got caught up in Watergate and was the first one to be sentenced to jail. Here is this Marine sergeant, educated lawyer, counsel to the president, totally humiliated. 1973, an August night, Tom Phillips, president of Raytheon, is about to bring Chuck Colson, lawyer, back on staff to be part of their company, to be an advisor, to be their lawyer. And Tom, being a Christ follower, is praying and saying, God, how should I talk to Chuck in the midst of everything that is going on, in the midst of all this scandal, in the midst of all of what's going on in his life? How should I talk to him? What should I do? And God was very clear with him. God told him, you need to tell him about me, because Chuck needs a friend. And so he invites him to his house and says, come. Come on over. Chuck Colson in 2008 reflected back on some of these things, and he wrote this. I left his house that night shaken by the words he had read from C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity about pride. It felt as if Lewis were writing about me, former Marine captain, special counsel of the President of the United States, now in the midst of the Watergate scandal. I had an overwhelming sense I was unclean. Interesting words. Just like Peter, when we truly come face to face with Jesus, we realize who we are, our condition. The reason I visited Tom that fateful night was that I was coming back to his company. Tom shared with me because God told him to. And God was certainly right. I was as desperate and lonely as any man could be. Tom, being a Christ follower, listening to what God is calling him to, the president of Raytheon, having a conversation with his special counsel's lawyer, saying, Chuck, good to see you. Hey, can we talk a few minutes before you come back on staff? I want to tell you about Jesus, and I especially want to talk to you about your arrogance. Can you imagine this? Wouldn't you have loved to have been there for this conversation? To see how God used it? To see this man who is so full of himself, has been with the President of the United States, crying like a baby in his car, unable to drive away because of the conviction, because of the sense of how unclean he was. But it didn't stop with that feeling. It began to open up his life. Chuck reflects this way. I can honestly say that the worst day of the last 35 years has been better than the best days of the 41 years that preceded it. That's a pretty bold statement, given my time in prison, 3 major surgeries, and 2 kids with cancer at the same time, but it is absolutely true. That's because for the last 35 years, whether in pain, suffering, or jubilation, it makes no difference. I have known there was a purpose. I have known that I belong to Christ and that I am here on earth to advance his kingdom. Incredible invitation that Jesus makes to us. It's not come sit in a church for the rest of your life. It's not come and just be moral. It has come and changed the world with me. Be a partner with me, Jesus asks of us, to make this world what I created it to be. Kingdom, purpose. And it starts with redeeming your soul, to opening it up and saying, yes, it is broken, it is unclean, it is sinful. And I'm going to address that in your life, he says. There are hundreds of stories like both of those in our midst. Just look around. Look around the room. There are story after story after story in our midst of people who walked hidden, closed, shameful, met Jesus, realized our own brokenness, and then answered the call, answered the invitation to follow him. I want to be in a place. I want to be able to say those words that Chuck said, that the worst day of the years following Jesus have been better than the best days of the years without him. I believe I can say that. Jesus invites you to have that kind of a life. But it comes from being all in, to follow him. Some of you are wrestling a little bit because you're saying, yeah, I follow Jesus, but am I really all in? We've invited you to read over this little commitment and say yes and sign this. You can do it digitally. You can do it right here today. Just fill it out. But this is, it's not about just signing your name on a piece of paper, because we all know it's a piece of paper. It's basically worthless. Unless you say, it is truly the conviction of my heart. If you don't believe it, please don't sign it. If you're wrestling with it, good. That's an incredible thing. Go to God and say, God, what is it that you want from me? What are you calling me to do? What is it that I'm going to have to leave behind in order to follow you? And some of us need to be saying, yep, I've got some things to leave behind. Can I take it with me? Can I do all the things I was doing and still follow you, Jesus? That goes back to that negotiating thing and commitment, right? Jesus says, follow me and I will give you purpose beyond what you can imagine. For some of you have said, I know I am broken. I know that I want to commit my life to something greater than what I have spent, how I have spent living it. I want to encourage you to celebrate this morning through baptism. I want you to think about baptism for a minute, because sometimes we don't really understand it, or we lose sight of what it really means. Baptism, you can compare it to a wedding ceremony, maybe the vow exchange or the ring exchange. I'll focus in on the ring exchange for a minute in a wedding. You have two people have said words to each other, making a commitment to love one another, and that as a symbol of that, they say, here, I'm giving you this to seal my promise. I want you to know this is what I'm going to do. You see, God did that with you and I. God is already standing there at the altar. Jesus, before the throne of God, gave you his ring and said, I promise to love and protect you, to forgive you, to fill you, to give you a life of purpose. That's my promise to you forever. And in baptism, we are on the other side looking at Jesus and saying, here's my ring. I commit my life to you. I am all in. I promise to follow you and no other. I promise to love you. I promise to tell others about you. I promise to live the life of purpose that you have given me, leaving everyone and everything else to be fully dedicated to make you my passion. That's the celebration that we have in baptism. That is saying, God, I know I go away. How can you be with me? As both Chuck and Peter expressed, I am sinful. And Jesus says, I know. That doesn't scare me. I came to redeem you, my child. Follow me. Follow me. So I want to encourage you right now, if that's you, our servers are going to prepare. We're going to stand up and sing a powerful song. And I want to encourage you, if that is what God has called in your heart, in your life, follow him. Do it now. Come join me right down front. Let's stand.